You're listening to Grace and Glory 2011, Session 8.
And I've got everything right. I want to just appreciate you. The year of your life, the staff, the pastors, interns. I'd say so many folks coming and saying thank you for having organized this well and efficiently. And I said, I took 2 weeks leave before the conference because I knew I got back, it would be done properly. So I can take no credit, but really to honor the guys, the sound guys, and the food and everything else. And then also, there are a number of pastors from Port Edward right up to Salt Rock, Ballito, Mshloti, Mshlonga, Durban, Northdean, Port Alfred, that are here. And have brought contingencies of folk with them. Some of our friends from Cape Town and even from the Joburg conference that came down. And we just want to honor the churches that are represented and the leaders that came out and are working together. As we heard in the last session from Rob, this is not just a conference that we flew in conference speakers to have a big meeting. We got relationships that have been built and relationships of kindness and the same vision. We're moving in the same direction with a group of friends from different churches. So although we're hosting it here, it's really more than just a local church event. I thank you for coming. Thanks to the elders for supporting it. I know we're getting together again on Sunday night for a time of worship together, and Rob will be sharing on Sunday night. So that's going to make for a good celebration. And then, just to mention that most of us were given lanyards with different colors on them, and that way we try to coordinate the seating. Thank you for cooperating with that. It just meant we never had a big bun fight before each session. And I've been through enough of those to sink the Titanic. So I'm quite happy to see that cooperation. Appreciate that. Then if you want DVDs of the conference, you can put the order in now and pay, and it'll be sent to you. Be sent to them, right? So you can do that at the bookshop. You can put in an order for all the DVDs of this time together. And then please, the lanyards, back to the lanyards. On our way out today, there'll be two boxes at the exit. Could you please just dump those in there? They're not going to be profitable for anything at home. You can't floss with them. You can't strangle your dog with them. Just leave them in a box at the back door. That'll help us. Thank you. And then lastly, but not leastly, we just want to pick up a little what Rob said, that we don't have an apostolic movement and we don't have apostles in place, but we do recognize apostolic prophetic gifting into the churches. And we're just so grateful to God for the giftings of Rob and Glenda and Finney and Izzy in an apostolic prophetic role, in friendship and relationship, but very definitely have come to build into the life of the church. So we're just going to take a quick vote to see if we should do this again in the next 2 years. Anyone in favor? Okay, they'll be back. Oh, that's great. Okay. Okay, you can't argue with that, seeing that we are now a democracy officially. But just to say to the Rufuses, the Justinis, we love you guys, appreciate your ministry. We've walked with you for 35 years. And we want to be a blessing to them by honoring them financially. That's very biblically, and I haven't got time to do a whole Bible study, but if you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians in your Bibles, there's an honoring financially of we've received, everyone who receives can sow back into their ministry and send them on their way with a financial blessing. So I did ask you to come prepared. Are we doing boxes, or are we going to do... Okay, will the guys come up? But we're not going to just give aimlessly here this morning. We're going to give purposely. So I want you to take your offering in your hand, please. And remember, we don't give to get blessed. We give because we are blessed. And we never move from Old Testament generosity into a new covenant of stinginess. We're coming with joyful hearts. We don't have to take the person's wallet next to us and give as we always wanted to give. We can just give from our own hearts, joyfully, happily, and send them on their way with a real blessing of a financial gift. So, So if you will take your offering in your hand, and let's declare together, Lord Jesus Christ, you are the head of the church, and you gave us gifts that would come in and build up the priesthood. We thank you for this building and equipping that has taken place these 2 days. And we sow financially into the gospel that wherever they go, wherever this finance goes, your kingdom will be extended. Thank you for the gospel. The gospel changed my life. And now I'm sending out my seed to change others' lives. Amen. Amen. Thank you. As we do that, I'm going to ask Rob.
Well, we want to thank you in advance for your generosity. And we do appreciate that. And it really is an honor to be here, and it's a privilege. And we have told leaders that we would fly over here at our own expense because we want to be here. We want to serve. And so when you honor us by giving, that is incredible pleasure. We don't take that for granted, and we just thank you for it. I know that many of you would love to see Glenda preach in this session. So would I. And I think what would be good in the future, if you put a lot more manipulative pressure on her. Because I've tried grace and goodness and kindness to get her obedient. So maybe a bit of law will just... so that you'll obey the calling of God. Because she is a great preacher and a great teacher. And she's an amazing mother in the house. When she teaches with such practical wisdom, inspiration, connects with people. She has launched the Integrate Groups in Hong Kong, City Church International. She is for the last few years saying, Rob, it's wonderful. We've got powerful prayer meetings, manifestations of God. But people need to relate, you know. They need to connect with one another. And we have a lot of people in our church that just do connect spontaneously in the right sense of that wonderful word, organically. And but there are also people that come into church that don't always find it easy to integrate for many, many reasons. Churches do, whether we like it or not, do form cliques. The single people get together. It's not because they are anti the married people. It's just they've got more free time on their hands. And then the married, there are some married people without children can hang out a little bit with the single people. But the married people with kids find it very difficult to have the time and energy. So there are cliques that develop, all not based on bad things. We all need to be with our own kind. We all need to be with people that we can really connect to, relate to, that enjoy us. We have similarities. But we also need to develop integrate groups, I believe, where people who walk in on a Sunday morning can be welcomed. I don't know about you, but there's nothing more horrifying to me than to see a visitor come in and at the end of the service they are drinking a cup of coffee by themselves. Because the courage that it's taken them to attend the church is phenomenal. And I normally get hijacked at the beginning, at the front. I don't even get past hardly the pulpit to get to visitors because people come and they want to tell you their life stories in installments, you know, like I've been doing with you. And I'm looking over their shoulder and seeing a visitor. I'm trying to like send mental telepathy. It's probably demonic, but I'm going, you don't operate by the gifts, so can you see there's a visitor over there? And so people are happy to be with each other, and it's great that people enjoy fellowship. But it's also important that we walk in love and don't use our freedom just to serve ourselves. But our freedom is to serve one another in love and look for those visitors and go after those visitors. And Glenda just set up. She chose the leaders. She was like a mother, a leader. She chose the leaders. She appointed them. She taught them. She instructed them. And now we have multiple integrate groups. Some of them are around equipping for marriage. Some of them are around equipping for parenting children. Some of them around resources and economics. Some of them around faith. But more and more, there are more and more that actually want to get together just to pray together, to eat together, and do life together. And so she's like the mother in the house, and she produced all of that. I didn't have the legs to do it. I didn't have the time to do it with all of our travel and all the other equipping and training I do in City Church International Hong Kong. So she is a mother in the house, and I believe that we've come to a new season in our lives that Glenda is going to do more public speaking because he does have the gifts for it. So I went through all of that just to say that. But anyway, and did a little teaching and a little hinting on the way. Little hinting that organic is great, but the church is both organic and organizational. And when Jesus wanted to multiply the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he was very organizational. Oh my God, did he? Yes, he got everyone in groups of 50. And the better organized he got, the greater the miracle happened. And you can be organized when there's 3 or 5 of you meeting in the house. But what happens if God blesses you and you start growing? Then you're going to have to repent of just being organic and become a little bit organizational. Amen. And if you're in your organicness, you start redistributing groceries to the widows. And there's so many widows eventually because you're so successful that some are getting deprived. Oh my God, you're going to have to get organized and recognize leaders. And oh my God, you're becoming part of the institution now. Welcome to the system. It's in the Bible. And God seemed to endorse it. And it said after they got organized, the number of disciples grew rapidly. So don't judge the organic movement. Pray for them to be so blessed they grow rapidly. And then you'll see they'll stop being just organic and they'll have to be organizational. Amen. Amen. And then you can say, welcome to the institution where God is reaching hundreds of millions. Okay. Why don't you turn in your Bibles to wherever you feel like this morning. And if you get to where I am, then you really have understood what this conference is about. You're moving in the word of knowledge, you're in the anointing. Now just go to Luke chapter 6. And just so you know, Bonnie normally travels with us for Glory and Grace conferences as well, leads in worship as well. But the problem is now she's got married. No, that's not it. She's married to an outstanding guy called Sean, just a brilliant young man, my son in grace. And he is delight to Glenda and I. And at this time of the year, about 70% of our congregation exits Hong Kong on holiday. About 60% of our church are teachers, so we've infiltrated the schools across Hong Kong. And they go on their 2-month summer break now. And so Bonnie and Sean have had to stay back with Ryan and Carly and 2 of the other elder couples just to lead the church. And they, we Skyped them this morning at the breakfast table on our iPad. I'm thinking jeepers, man. And so we spoke to them while we were eating breakfast and they were all happy. And they have a dog, his name is Rufus. He's a Jack Russell. We had a Jack Russell in Australia. His name was Skabenga. And Rufus is a heightened Jack Russell. He has all the attributes of a Jack Russell on steroids. And he's come on the very edge of death twice because he flirts on the edge. He chases Rottweilers. He goes after all the big dogs. And they run from him, fortunately. He's known as the mayor in the Chinese village that he lives in. Because he does his rounds to every single house. And they all know him well. And But Rufus, he gambles with life. And he contracted a tick bite in Hong Kong that's lethal. It kills dogs. It kills them, definite kill. But he survived that. He's a survivor. He's a Rufus. And he came out of it. And a week ago, he was flirting in the traffic and the car rode right over his head, right over his top body and crushed his shoulders and broke his back leg and chipped all the bones. Can you all the holes in the ass, especially those with Jack Russells? Because anyway, he was unconscious and a Chinese man picked him up and took him to the vet. And then Sean and them took him to the vet who's in our church. And happy to say they're picking him up tomorrow and Rufus is moving again and he's alive. So he thinks he's a cat. He thinks he's got 9 lives. But anyway, he's using them up pretty fast. But and Sean and Bonnie, my daughter Bonnie Rufus is alias Whaley, but she's really Rufus still. Sean and Bonnie are preaching tomorrow morning in City Church International. And I said, well, how's it going? She said, well, 70% away. She said, Dad, every Sunday while you've been away, it's packed out. It's full. We've got so many visitors just coming in, Chinese and expats. So God's growing the church. And her DVD, Hear the Sound, which is produced by Integrity Music, which is the Songs of Glory. It's all sold out. But you can order off New Nature Products production. It's for free. The transport will be free, so you can get that off New Nature. Anyway, let's get on with what we should be beginning on with. I want to continue a little bit more on the anointing. What time do we finish, Steve? What is the... When I woke up this morning, I really felt the word... I didn't think I was going to teach this morning. I mean, I've hugged the show. Yeah, Finn and Izzy have done... well, I've done every worship session, but they just say, keep going, I'll keep going. So, but when I woke up this morning, I wasn't sure if I was going to preach this morning, but I heard the word supersaturation, and that we're going to leave this place like, you know, like sardines that are in a can. Do you know why you can get so many sardines in a can? Because they're super saturated with oil. And when you're super saturated with oil, there's very little friction in your relationships because you slide. And hinges don't squeak. I've got to give again. I've got to go to church again. No, you don't have to do anything. Just oil that hinge and doors open. Beautiful sound. So we want to talk about the anointing and the saturation in the anointing of God and to how to stay saturated. Yeah, some people just think a little dab will do, and you know, because you see the anointing heals the brokenhearted. The anointing sets at liberty them that are bruised. The anointing opens prison doors. The anointing opens blind eyes. The anointing brings jubilee. Jubilee was a shadow under the old covenant, speaking of the substance of Jesus. Shadows, if you look and you see the shadow of an aeroplane, you don't say, oh, there's an aeroplane. You say, oh, that's the shadow of an aeroplane. And then you look up for where the real aeroplane is, and that's where the substance is. The shadow could not fly us from Hong Kong to South Africa. But if the shadow points to a substance, and the substance can fly you all over the world. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1 says, the law is a shadow of the good things to come. So when you see the law, don't just say, oh, we don't read the law. Read the law. Read the old covenant. It is a shadow pointing to the good things to come. When Adam and Eve walked on the planet before the fall, they had instant manifestation of glory. They saw fruitfulness. They did not work by the sweat of their brow. They had total dominion. But when they ate from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, and their spirit died, the earth came into a frustration. Romans 8 said the earth was subject to futility, and now it's groaning for the manifestation, the revealing, and the unveiling of the sons of God. The earth has seen 2,000 years of Christianity. Now it wants to see the sons of God, who are men and women, for they're neither male nor female, but we're all one in Christ. The earth is groaning not for Christianity to be revealed, but for the sons of God to be revealed. Because the earth has been subject to frustration. It's been subject to futility through first Adam. But we are now in last Adam, who is the substance. First Adam fell, and the earth was cursed, not by God, but by Adam's disobedience, because he had dominion. God gave the earth to Adam. God did not say, I'm going to rule over the earth. I'm going to intervene and do what I want on the earth. Before he created, he had the right to do what he wanted, because he's Almighty God. But he created and took initiative all on his own. No one prayed. No one fasted. People say God only does things in response to prayer. Well, who was praying when God, when no one existed and God created the earth? Now, God took sovereign, 5-point Calvinist sovereign initiative to create the earth. But once the earth and the heavens were created, he then delegated authority to man, said, the earth is yours, you have dominion, you multiply, you have subduing authority on this planet. Therefore, God now has restricted himself to partnership with man. God now will not do anything except man takes an initiative in faith, and God has limited himself to the faith obedience of human beings that will walk in prayer and obedience of faith. So God doesn't do everything on the planet now. He needs partners, and the planet's been groaning wanting and desiring to see the unveiling and the revealing of the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what it's waiting for. So there was five-point Calvinism, if you want, before the creation, and God took sovereign initiative to create. After He gave the earth to man, and He gave man the right to co-labor with God. Man moves, then God moves. Come on now. And man moved in the wrong direction to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and released Satan to become the temporary god of this fallen age. Amen. And when the earth was cursed, now Adam is now working by the sweat of his brow. And man's lost his assignment, which is to walk in dominion on the planet. Now man is a survivor, working, sweating in a cursed earth system. And so into the cursed earth system comes the shadow of the good things to come. Comes the law, which is only a shadow of the good things to come. The Sabbath is a shadow of good things to come. The substance is the airplane you get in and fly around the world. The shadow is the law. The Sabbath is just a shadow. But Jesus is the substance that you can get into and fly around the world, drinking a glass of wine and eating food while you're flying thousands of miles an hour through the air. And you doing nothing but sitting and sleeping. So the law was a shadow, and the law said, on the sixth day, I will multiply your manna. I'll double your manna. I'll bless Friday. So Saturday, you can do nothing and still eat and have enough to be a blessed and to rest. That's the shadow. That's the shadow pointing to the substance. Jesus is the substance. And Jesus said, I am anointed. Listen, the anointing has got to do with shadow and substance. The anointing has got to do with substance. He said, I'm anointed and I'm appointed to teach and preach this and to bring Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favor. What's he saying? Year of the Lord's favor is no longer a shadow. It is now a person. It is me, the anointed one. In me is Jubilee. What is Jubilee? Jubilee was under the law of Moses. Jubilee was every 49th year, God would bless them with 3 years fruitfulness in 1 year. On the 49th year, bless them for the 49th year, for the 50th year, and the 51st year, so that for the 50th year, they could lie in their hammocks all day for 365 days, do no work, and there would be blessing and abundance, and their barns would be filled, all debts were cancelled, and all land returned to you. And that is glorious, but it's the shadow pointing to the substance. Here's Jesus. So Adam, first Adam, did not have to till the earth like a laborer by the sweat of his brow, that his whole life was consumed with getting a salary to pay his rent and eat food. Last Adam came and demonstrated the kingdom has now come. And the government of heaven is back on the earth. You may live in a cursed earth system. You're in the world, but you're not of it. You're living in a cursed earth system by the sweat of your brow, where you've got to make money to survive. But Jesus is saying, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. That's not, don't have a glass of wine, don't watch movies, don't go with women that smoke. The pattern of this world is the cursed earth system. And 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, Satan is the god of this world. Paul said, Demas fell in love with this present world. What? It's this cursed earth system. It offers you seductive pleasures. It offers you things of, what are the seductive pleasures of this world? Well, the accolades of man, popularity with man, approval from man. This world accepts you. You're not going to get a preacher, a pastor, been accepted by the United States government. You're not going to get a president, as best as I know. Or maybe I'm wrong. Let me don't prophesy. Maybe it'll happen. But you don't get tongue-talking, devil-casting out, praying for the sick, shaking and falling, going into trances, ministries of the gospel, invited by the presidents of the United States to be their speech makers. No, you've got to compromise the manifestation of the new covenant. You've got to shut the anointing down, and then this world will accept you. And then even the church will accept you. But I want to tell you, God's called us to be sons of God that manifest, and the time will come as we manifest, and we manifest in the anointing. The time's coming when presidents and kings and emperors and governments are going to say, please, Christians, don't leave our city. You're the salt and the light. You have a preserving presence on our city. Now, they're not saying that at the moment, because we're coming into manifestation of sons. And the manifestation is in the manifestation of the anointing, which brings us into the manifestation of the glory. And the time's coming, they're going to say, when you're around, we don't see tsunamis, we don't see earthquakes, the crime rates go down. The cursed earth system seems to start getting blessed around you. It seems like the very soil comes into a heavenly endowment. Amen? See, we're talking about something more than just Glory and Grace Conference. We're talking about God is transitioning us through the message of grace and glory into global influence to rub out the lines of limitation and see that we are heirs of the world. Hebrews 1:3, it says, when Jesus was raised from the dead after making purifications for sins, sat down at the right hand of God, and God appointed him to be the heir of all things. In Romans 8:16 says, you are co-equal heir with Christ. You're an heir of the one who's the heir of all things. You're not an apparent heir waiting to die to get your inheritance. You are a current co-heir with Christ right now. And Romans 4 says that through the righteousness that is by faith apart from the law, you are the offspring of Abraham and heir of the world. And Christians are shrinking their little world down to the shadow. And if I can just work and get a job and pay my rent, and we understand that, and pay my food, and that's all I want, and Lord Jesus, please help me just have enough food to pay my rent. Now, that's okay, I understand that. But friends, when we get past that, and we begin to realize that actually every individual one of us are be called to manifest as sons to affect government and economics and stability. The Sudan problem can be solved. Zimbabwe's problem can be solved. We are not sitting at the rapture bus stop saying we resign ourselves to an evil world getting more and more evil. No, we are sons that the earth is groaning out for. Sons that have the good news of the kingdom. And of course, we feel, well, I'm not adequate for that. You too, me too. Paul says, who is adequate for this? The man that wrote these glorious things says, who is adequate for these things? Paul says, I didn't even feel sufficient. No, but it's that profound awareness of how insufficient we feel, how weak and frightened we feel at times, how inadequate we feel. The night sweats at 3 o'clock in the morning. I know none of you have it because you've got faith, but Rob Rufus does. I have nuts at 3 in the morning. I wake up and go, my God, what am I doing in Hong Kong? And what is, you know, I'm 57 now. I should be looking for some financial base that can secure my future to retire. And I say, and then I say, oh, that's a swear word, retire. No, let me live into 98, 100. Just preach the gospel. But we're all human enough to feel those vulnerable moments. What am I putting out for my future? I've moved 3 continents. You just lose every time. God, what, you know, people. I don't know what it is about people that when they see someone preach, I don't know what it is that they think this life's easy for them. You know, when their children wake up at night and cry, angels say to us, "Just stay in bed. We'll change their nappies and." You know. Now, every one of us goes through human experiences. And we go through vulnerability and feelings of momentary affliction in our minds. And God, these are glorious promises in the new covenant. But God, you must be thinking about someone else, not me. Every one of us, you lead in any way, and you all lead in some ways. Any one of us has been subject at times to witchcraft and people that posture themselves like snipers of psychic arrows shooting at you from ambush positions of sweet smiling faces, but they wish you would die. And they hate you and they despise you, and someone has poisoned them against you and agitated them. And Paul said to the Galatians in Galatians 4, oh, what happened to you, Galatians? You received me as an angel from the Lord, even as Jesus Christ himself, and you would have plucked out your very eyes and given them to me. Where has all your joy gone? Will you love me less because I love you more? Will you hate me because I tell you the truth? And people can just hijack your sense of courage and your sense of equilibrium, and you just wonder, Lord, life's going so well. You know, is this, how long is this going to last? You know, the conference was great, Lord. Will it last 2-3 days? Will the after? No, it'll last for the rest of your life. The honeymoon never ends. But you're living in a very unstable, shaking world. And the Bible says God will shake all things. Even the heavens and the earth will be shaken. But rejoice and worship God with reverence and awe, for you are receiving an unshakable kingdom. And this is in the times of the shaking, God is looking for the people of the kingdom. Not just people who are Christians, not just churchgoers, but sons who are kingdom sons and daughters. They are the people of glory. And they are walking in an unshakable kingdom. And as the earth starts shaking more and more, there are people of the kingdom. There are people who have been phased in. Right now, there are Christians being phased out, and there are Christians being phased in. It's a choice people are making right now. Do I want to be a charismatic, Do I want to go to seek a sensible church where it's all rational and all logical and all convenient, and it's 1 hour and 15 minutes, and it's not inconvenient, and I'm fitting my life in, and they're living in a world where more of their faith and their commitments is invested into a shaking economy, a shaking world system, and then you've got another group of radical people that say, I'm living for eternity, I'm living for the substance of the kingdom that's unshakable to come to the planet, that's where I'm putting my money in, that's where I'm putting my time in, that's where I'm putting my faith in, and they are making choices. And the free will issue is still very big. And there are people that are going to be phased out, they're going to go to heaven, but they will not be manifest as sons, carrying the glory, because they are identifying so much with the shaking systems of this earth, and there are others that are identifying with the unshakable kingdom. And it looks like they're doing a lot of shaking at the moment, and but that is the Holy Spirit shaking, and it is the trauma of the transition from the addiction to the seduction of this passing temporary world that is the cursed earth system. And they are shaking with the trauma of emotion and anxiety of sucking themselves out of the gravity of the pull of this temporary cursed earth system that is putting up they're putting out on the deck of the Titanic the chairs. The deck chairs on the Titanic, and this temporary world system is saying, come on, you deserve to be happy. Come on, just make more money. No, you don't have to be so committed to the Word of God. You don't have to be so committed to Jesus. Come on, you're under grace. Come on now, be self-centered. No more discipline. Come on, work harder. Take 3 jobs. Make more money. After all, listen, all that money, the U.S. dollar, the U.S. nation can't even pay their interest on their debt, and they are in serious trouble. And if that collapses, all your savings in the world system and right across the globe, there's going to be an economic decline and crash like the world has never seen before. And that's what people are put. They're on the Titanic, getting their deck chairs out, planning all their holidays, going, yeah, I'll do this, I'll do that, then I'll take that job, I'll leave there, I'll go there. And they are not at all under the government of God. They are under their own self-determination. They're choosing by their own free will to be phased out of what's coming on the planet. Why is God delaying it? He's not delaying it. The transition is nearly finished for many people right now. And the glory that's going to come on this planet now is not coming to a bunch of snotty those brats who are self-centered and self-agendered and selfish ambitions, who are putting anything into the kingdom only based on what's convenient and what doesn't cost them. There are people who have made a decision. My house, my children, my marriage, I'm going to invest my life into the eternal kingdom. That's it. And people just popping into church when it's convenient, if they feel like it, and tipping God with some little coin. And spending their money on another plasma television, and they got 5 already, and I'm not against plasma. I've got a movie house inside my house, so I'm not against plasma, but it was given to me. Because I said one day, Lord, I want a big TV. But I said, I don't have time to go and look for one. I'm traveling too much. And I don't really want to pay for it. The next day, a lady in our church, Chinese lady in our church said, there's a man, he's got so many plasma TVs, he's got Porsches, and he just wants to give it away. Do you want it? I said, yes. So I didn't pray. I just thought, I'd like a big TV. I just thought that. Or I pack in my bags for a trip. And I got one. So I'm not against those things. But people, if they don't invest their money into the kingdom, they're going to invest it into trivia, into superfluous things. And thank God for private schools if you can afford it. But some people are dying, cutting off resources of the kingdom to get their kids to private schools. I want to tell you, it's not how well educated your kids are, though that's important. It's how much they see you loving Jesus. How radical you are. People are spending exorbitant amounts of money to be successful in a cursed earth system. And overnight, it can all be taken from them. Such are the shakings. I do not predict that the U.S. will not be able to pay the interest on their debt. And I'm not predicting that. But I'm saying it's hanging in the balance and it can go either way. And if I was someone in government in the United States, I would be talking more about this. And they should have been talking about it 10, 15 years ago. And we're sitting ignorantly, and the millions that will die of starvation in India and across the nations of the earth because of greed-driven borrowing. People, I'm prosperous. I've got a big car, big house. I've got all this. No, you don't. The bank has it. And when you understand the whole leverage and how the whole system works, I mean, borrowing off the borrowing and the debtors and the debt, and no one knew what was going on. And Bill Clinton got paid out. They were going to regulate. But then they just got paid out big money. And there was all kinds of stuff going on that was evil. The Bible's true when it says the love of money is the root of all evil. Money tries to replace God. Money's a good servant. Money says to a building, we can buy you. Money says to missionaries, we can keep you on the field. Money says, we can do this, we can do this for the kingdom. But when there's a love of money, there's borrowing in excess for inflated egos that want to look good and in the eyes of men. But boy, tithing. When I mentioned tithing on the first day, even grace people went, I thought we're free from all that. We're free from everything, friends. We're free. We don't have to give another cent. We don't have to invest another time. We never have to go to church again. Never have to preach the gospel. Never need to pray. We're free. Paul says, we're free, man, we're free. But all things that we're free from, there are some things that are not profitable. He said, all things are permissible. All things are permissible. You say, Rob, that's license. Paul said it, not me. He said, all things. He didn't say some things. All things are permissible. But all things are not profitable. There are consequences to something. I've got to sleep around. Glenda will kill me. It's not profitable. And I don't want to. And that's the thing of the kingdom. Take the laws and the rules of the new nature, and the new nature will just want to tithe, want to go beyond tithing, wants to live for eternity, wants to honor elders, wants to honor the local church, wants to see the lost saved, wants to do things when we feel tired, but we do them anyway. Not because we feel, well, I'm being led by the Spirit. No, you've been led by feelings. You've been led by demons. You've been led by philosophies of this age that contradict the kingdom of God. This is a time for glory and grace around the planet. Anyone understands grace. This is not a time where the grace message is amplifying self-indulgence. The grace message is amplifying God's expansive plans and purposes on your life to make an impact on human history now. And there is a phasing in and a phasing out. And there is a choice being made in heaven, but it's a response to earth. Heaven is constantly responding to earth. I know people don't believe that, but heaven is responding to earth constantly. Heaven releases revelation into the earth. People have a choice to respond to that. They make a choice, yes or no, it's not convenient for me. Heaven then responds to their no or responds to their yes. Heaven is responding right through this conference to what's going on in our hearts. And heaven looks for choices that human free will makes. And Christians that may say no to inconvenient, sacrificial, faithful, disciplined living for Christ, they say no to that, they go to heaven, God loves them, they'll be rewarded for any time they're connected with their bat. But those Christians that say yes to everything, I give my life, I consecrate, I surrender everything I am. I'm bought with a price. I don't belong to myself. I'm under grace. I'm free from the law. All things are permissible. But you know what, Lord? I've got a new creation nature. And those things I don't really want to do anymore. You know, I tried it a bit, but hey, it wasn't such a big deal anyway. It's overrated. I like doing the obedience thing, Lord. And so, Lord, I'm going to swing at everything, and I may miss, and my bales may be taken out, and I may pray for people and they die. I may step out and they don't get saved. I may plant a church and it doesn't work. I may do this, but I don't care, Lord. I'll just keep swinging for the sixes. So when you get there, you've got huge record of sixes you connected with, just because you swung more than others. Amen. And so Jubilee is the substance. Jubilee in the anointing, that's the substance. It means that there is a kingdom now, that we're not conformed to the pattern of this world. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind so we can prove what is acceptable, pleasing, and good will of God. Now, what does that mean? It means that Christians are shifting into the unshakable kingdom and shifting out of dependence on the cursed earth system. Though we live in this world, we still do economic things with this world. We are not hoping this world will be destroyed. I am praying that the U.S. will sort the debt thing out. I don't want to see this world's economy collapse. We're in this world as salt and light. We're not in this world to find our sufficiency in God and then live in isolation and say to the world, oh, to hell with you, you can all lose. No, no, friends, we are here to help these systems work. Come on now. When Daniel was in Babylon, Daniel didn't say, look, curse this whole evil empire. Nebuchadnezzar's a demonized. No, Daniel brought the kingdom of heaven. Daniel brought change and blessing to a foreign nation that God had used to judge Israel with. Come on now, can you say amen? Amen. So we are here because we want South Africa to work. We want to see government here. We want to see the crime rate go down. Even over these 3 days we've been here, two members of this conference, one who was wanting to get here was stabbed. Her husband was stabbed 4 times. She was stabbed once. The other one had to hide under a bed and people broke in their home. Just two in this little group. Friends, this crime rate has to come down. And we need to have government in this nation that we need to be praying for. The church doesn't just go to church and let's see if we should leave the country because it might get a bit tough. No, we're here to change the country. And you're not to feel embarrassed as a white for our history. It's gone. Yeah, I remember the good. And some of it was terrible, but it's gone now. And we need a strong opposition government. And we need to be praying for these things intensely. This is too beautiful a land and too wonderful a land to go down into chaos. And there's a lot of things I want to say, but it's not my pulpit to say it, so I'm not going to say it. But if people think that we're just living, we've been out of this country for 20 years. And I want to tell you, Glenda knows I'm telling you the var rate. Every day I have ached for South Africa. Every day. I love no other nation the way I love this nation. This nation is in my blood. When I live in Hong Kong, I look for trees that look like African trees. And I run in the bush that's there in the mountains. I imagine I see rhinos shrinking through. Rhinos. They're old feral bulls that used to be farmers from 100 years ago. They've just survived. And they're grumpy old bulls. They're a little bit like buffalo. One charged me once and nearly killed me. And I thought, well, at least I nearly died like from an African animal. But just a few days before I left South Africa 20 years ago, I wrote down words. I said, I will never forget you. For I hear your call like the wild winged birds that fly high in your sky. And the whispering winds of Africa will still haunt me in the night with your silent memories. Oh, South Africa, you're the land of my birth. I love your peoples, your mountains and your plains. I'm leaving your borders, but my heart still remains. And I've run through your valleys and I've stood on your heights and I've walked in your forests and I've touched your soul, your sounds and your smells and your rhythms I know so well. And the elephant and the rhino, long may they roam in freedom and their ancient dignity. Oh, South Africa, you're the land of my birth. I love your peoples, your mountains and your plains. I'm leaving your borders, but my heart still remains. And the shadows of the night flicker across your lovely face, scarred and etched in a tapestry of pain. Oh, South Africa, I will see you again. And we shall smile, sing, laugh, and chabula again. Oh, South Africa, you're the land of my birth. I love your peoples, your mountains, and your plains. I'm leaving your borders, but my heart still remains. This is a lovely land. It is the beloved country. And one of our friends from City Church International Hong Kong, a Christian, he's a Canadian. He says, this is not an orphan nation. This is an adopted nation. This is a beloved nation. He's a Canadian, and yet he's speaking over this nation, the Father's heart. This nation is not abandoned to chaos. There are South Africans all over the world changing the world. There are South Africans who have influenced the impact of what's happening globally in the kingdom. And I could start mentioning their names. This nation has produced people. I'm grateful that I was shaped and fashioned in this nation. I don't feel ashamed at all of my past. I'm grateful for every day I lived for 37 years in this nation. Back to the anointing. Let's close with a few scriptures and one story. I share that poem to say this. That the heart of God for this nation is so powerful. And God, what Izzy said last night, this nation has had moves of the Spirit of God. There's been awakenings in this nation more than probably any other nation. And so in a loving, sanctified way, she was saying in gentleness as a prophet of God, this nation has no excuse to not have a full-blown revival. The seeds of the martyrs in this nation. And we could speak of the men, black and white, who have preached this gospel, signs and wonders and miracles. Then it's been clamped down by religious conservatism and slavery and putting women down because of Calvinistic machoism and chauvinism. I don't like Calvinism for many reasons. One of it is what it's done to women. The other one is that it opened the door to apartheid in this nation. But it dominates women. It's racialistic, and I don't like it. I like Calvin, and I like all the Calvinists who preach the Calvinist message. I just don't like the demon behind Calvinism, because I see the fruit of it. So I'm getting a bit angry now, so I better stop. Hey, ladies, you're lucky you're not under Calvinism in this house. If they could get away with it, they'd have a hair covering on you. They'd actually have a burqa on you, like a Muslim lady. They can't preach. They're not allowed to preach. The only time they can preach is if their husband interviews them. So they're really preaching, but it's now avoided. Okay, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Two scriptures, Acts 10. I said Luke, didn't I? Let's go to Acts 10 quickly. Yeah, I was trying to, like last time I got real flack for being aggressive 2 years ago, and this time I thought I was going to come much more gentle, anyway. But Izzy said to me in Joburg, Rob, don't apologize, you have a sledgehammer ministry. Not all the time, but some people have got to do it. Acts 10:38 says, we've read it before, how God anointed. Say anointed. Amen. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with two things. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Two things, the Holy Spirit and power. Jesus of Nazareth was anointed. He was anointed. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And how he went around doing good. You need to have power to do kingdom good and healing all who are under the power of the devil because God was with him. And we commented on this verse the other day. Let me just say a few things again. There is no Jesus. Let me put it this way. The authentic, original, unique, and only Jesus Christ of Nazareth is an anointed Jesus. You understand that? I know it's simple, but it's not that simple. The only Jesus of the Bible, the only Jesus of eternity, is an anointed Jesus. to want the anointing is to want Jesus. You cannot have the anointing without Jesus, because Jesus is the anointed one. To desire the anointing in your meetings or in your life is to desire more of Jesus in the meetings or in your life. To put the anointing down, to ridicule the manifestation of the anointing, to resist the anointing, to think the anointing is not so important, is very, 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 very dangerous. Because eventually when you have meetings after meetings that are not manifest anointing and power, you are training and programming and indoctrinating people to accept another type of Jesus that is no Jesus at all. That's simple, friends. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, I wanted to present you as a pure virgin to Christ as your bridegroom. But I'm so amazed. You've gone after another Jesus and another gospel and another spirit. I want to say it. I know it's dangerous. I know my wife's going to get nervous now. But if you're going to drown under 1 millimeter of water, you can drown under 1 millimeter. You may as well drown in 30 fathoms. I want to tell you that the Seeker Sensible movement is dangerously bordering on being a manifestation of another Jesus. Because the Jesus of the Bible was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And wherever he turned up, demons started shrieking and coming out. In the meetings. Not in a side meeting. Where the unsaved visitors were. Mark chapter 1, he went to a synagogue. And when he stepped in, a demonized man, who obviously must have been attending that synagogue for many years, the demons was happy to attend the synagogue with him. And everyone in the synagogue knew there was something weird about this man, but they didn't know what it was. And they had decades of preachers there, and the demon was intelligently entertained by the great preaching. And then the real Jesus walked in. And it was no longer a Seeker Sensible meeting. Now it was a God Sensible meeting. Because when people are getting delivered from evil cockroaches that destroy and torment human beings' life, of which a large percentage of the South African population and the Hong Kong population and the population of more than 50% are tormented by demons, and so they're on Valium and every kind of drug that just masks the symptoms of demon torment. Because the church has failed to worship the Jesus that was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And with power. I'm sorry I've got to say this, but I can say it to you because you're a friendly group. By now, in other contexts, I would have been grabbed by the deacons, because some churches are deacon-possessed, and I would have already been rugby tackled. I could not say what I've said. It's a compliment to you guys that you haven't fainted with shock, because I'm actually saying some pretty radical things right now. I'm trying to paint a picture that it's not a joke. It's not a joke. It's not a joke to get 5, 10,000, 100,000 bums on a seat on a Sunday morning and think this is success, but a false Jesus is walking up and down between the aisles. Because when their Jesus walks past a demonized person, the demon feels even more comfortable. And the politicians that are from the pulpit, they don't want to offend anyone. In fact, you can't even lift your hands in some places. If you do, you must lift it like a fist, because you're a man. That's a bit of Calvinism again, I think. I'm a man. No, you're not. It's a puppet of some system. Jesus was a man, and he wept. And he took little children, and he hugged them to his chest. Jesus was a man, and he took a whip, and he cracked it and kicked over tables. He was the full spectrum of a man. He wasn't just sweet and gentle all the time. He was gentle and compassionate some of the time. Other times he was a roaring lion. You got men that are too predictable today. They're just too predictable. They're always nice. Sorry, my dear. Okay, I'll behave so we can have sex tonight. No, you're just being manipulated. They came to Jesus in Luke 7 and said, "Oh, what's wrong with you? No, you don't fit in. You're not a stereotype Messiah." They should never understand who you are. They should keep thinking, "Are you really a Christian? Do Christians behave this way?" I'm serious. The reason they should know you're a Christian is because they see in your eyes glory. They see in your face. They hear the wisdom of God in you. They don't hear you quoting scriptures every 5 seconds. They see the wisdom of God in you. Luke 7, Jesus said, "What should I prepare this generation of people to? They're like little children that played a flute and a little happy song. And I didn't dance and celebrate to fit in with their stereotypes." And they played a dirge, which is a funeral song. "And I didn't mourn." And he says, "And so John the Baptist came, neither eating bread nor drinking wine. And you said, 'Behold, he's got a demon.' He said, 'And the Son of Man came both drinking wine and eating bread.' And you said, 'Behold, a glutton and a friend of sinners.' He said, 'But wisdom is justified in all of her children.'" In other words, you cannot categorize a son of God. They are not unstable schizophrenics, but they are not predictable. I am not predictable. I don't want to be predictable. I want to come to a meeting planning to preach something and end up erupting like a volcano because that's what's appropriate. And I want to come to a meeting planning to erupt like a volcano and end up speaking like a mother with a gentle, quiet, sweet, kind voice. Because you know the anointing is leading you. Not the crowd. The anointing. The anointing will deliver you from a political spirit. A political spirit is only interested in getting the next election. An ambassadorial spirit is interested in the next generation. There are two groups that seek the anointing. One is the wise men, as I said the other day. One is Herod. The wise men sought the anointing to worship. Herod sought the anointing to stop it. And there are churches today that mix the wise men with the Herods. And they try and find something in between that will keep them happy. Listen, the Herods are never happy with the anointing. They want to kill it. They want to stop it. And the wise men should be too wise to stay in contact with Herods. And there are pastors that entertain Herods in their church. You know what they do? They should walk up to the Herods and shake their hand and say, "Hi, killing the babies, are you?" They do. They kill the babies that Izzy saw in a vision. They kill the babies. They kill the firstborns. They kill the babies. They kill. Because no one can get saved without the anointing. No one. And the Herod spirit is wanting to stop. It wants that obviously. No, we want the anointing. But we want dynamic balance. Balance. There's nothing balanced in the kingdom. You're either hot or you're cold. But lukewarm. No balance. That word balance is the most demonized word that is a prophetic ministry I've heard in the last 10 years. And other word, relevant. We've got to be relevant to the world. No, the world needs to be relevant to the God who created the heavens and the earth. You become like the world to win them. Listen, that's not going to work. I know this is a scripture Paul used, but don't take it out of context. I do my best to chase every Herod out of our meetings on purpose. And I succeed. And you're not going to have a revival with a mixture of Herods and wise men. You need a whole congregation full of wise men, and wise men seek the anointed one. And wise men bring the treasures, their gold and the incense, and they pour it out at the feet of the anointing. And Herod was shocked that the wise men didn't come back, because Herod said, "You go find him. And when you do, come tell me." don't find the anointing go tottering off to a Herod. Come to this church. Yes, I will. And they come in as spies to spy on our freedom and sit there grieving the Holy Spirit and quenching the Spirit and shooting psychic darts at the preacher. Don't call Herods into the church. Let the Herods congregate in their congregation. And the wise men refused to go to the Herods, and they went back by a secret way. And Herod was so angry. And it says when the wise men, listen, the wise men did not follow men. They followed a star. The Herods follow men. The Saul spirit follows men. They are interested in bums on a seat on Sunday to flatter their ego. How many you got in your church? Oh, how many you got in your church? I don't care how many you got in your church. How much anointing have you got in your church? How much God's in your church? Because you go a couple of years, 10 years, 15 years with enough God in your church, you will grow to thousands or hundreds. But that's never to drive you. Never to drive you. Anyway, get on with it, Nero. Thank you very much. Thank you. I do appreciate that. I'm not so secure that I don't need love and encouragement. Thank you. So let's just have a moment of silence to mourn the exodus of Herods. Please don't suspect every visitor as a Herod, okay? But, you know, when they come to two or three services, and they're sitting like this, and fire is falling all around them. See people standing at the back wall, while the glory of God, and people are worshipping the fragrant anointed one. They stand on the back wall, their arms folded, talking to one another. I had that in City Church a few months ago. I said, you phased out, mate. If you can act so... Husbands of wives that should have known better. I looked up. I thought, you're not in our future. And they're gone. No, one has repented. One's gone. They're letting you know. I'm not impressed. They're little boys. They're little puppies. They've got a little spirit of offense. And they've shut down the anointing in their lives. And they've opened their lives to demons. There are no vacuums in this world. This universe does not tolerate a vacuum. Everything must be filled. And if the anointing is gone, seven devils worse will come back. There are people that walked in the fire of God. They're no longer in the fire of God. They are demonized. Yeah, they're born again, they're going to heaven, but they're demonized and they're behaving with such utter, rampant immorality or rebellion or arrogance. And writing books on the church. And we tolerate it. We just think it's a game. I long for the day where everyone will be a little bit like me, but worse. But not judgmental. You know what I'm saying? When you hear me speak, I'm speaking from a heart of a love for Christ and His church. I am not speaking as a self-righteous, bigoted Pharisee. Don't do it like a self-righteous Pharisee. Do it with a compassionate heart. Do it with humility. Especially if you're speaking to leaders. Be like a David. If your leaders are like a Saul, be like a David who even when he cut Saul's coat, felt convicted in his heart that he shouldn't have touched Saul like that. That's how you need to honor leaders. Even Saul type leaders, do not speak disrespectfully to them. Honor them. Because if you dishonor them, God will protect them. Because there's an office God protects, even if it's not the man. You have no right to speak to anyone appointed to leadership. No. But when you come in humility with a gracious heart and you say, look, this thing is too Herod. It's too legalistic, too Moses. And they just, who do you think you are? You walk out, of course. Yeah. And don't let them see you doing it. When you get out the door, dust your feet. And that's the end of that. You don't need that. You don't need to be under that for the rest of your life. But have a loving go at helping them. And don't spend the rest of your life as a grace Pharisee shooting psychic darts of demons into them and criticizing, because you're going to be responsible for their downfall. Can you say amen? See, you don't have to fight people. Listen, leave them. Just leave them. Give them a chance. Leave them. There's enough grace communities appearing all over. This is becoming the Grace Church capital of the world. There are more grace churches in KwaZulu-Natal now than in any other area of the world that we are aware of, that we are working with personally, not necessarily for others. Okay, amen. All right, let's just look at this now. Luke 6. And I've just felt so happy since I've just realized that Herods are always going to be Herods and wise men will be wise. Wise men say, could it be I can't help falling in love with you. Like a river flows. Thank you. Thank you very much. When no one else can understand me, when everything I do is wrong, you give me hope and consolation. You give me strength to carry on, and you're always there to lend a hand in everything I do. That's a wonder. The wonder of you. Yay! You know what you guys are doing now? You're doing exactly what the three wise men... Well, we don't know it. Nowhere in the Bible does it say there were three. Never does it say there was three. That's only on Christmas cards. There were three gifts they gave. There could have been 100 wise men. We don't know. It just says wise men. The Magi. He came from China, I think. Machana. Hey, Machana. They came from China. But it says, they did not follow men, they followed the star. It says, when the star stopped over the child, it says their hearts were full of joy. The Greek there, the Greek there is ecstatic joy. When wise men see the anointing, they're full of joy. When Herod's found the anointing, they are full of murder. Herod say in their services, Herod say, oh, the anointing is here. But if you're in that service as a wise man, you say, the anointing is here. It feels like I'm in a funeral. No one's happy. You almost feel like going to open an urn and get ashes out and say, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. No. Wise men, when your star finds where the anointed one is, you are filled with ecstatic joy. We are in the company of many wise men and women. Well, I guess the message is causing an interruption that needs to be honored. One of the biggest disciplines for me as a preacher is learning to recognize when the Holy Spirit has interrupted the message, because we do have Sunday night to continue to talk to wise men. Invite many wise men to Sunday night service here. I'll just carry on talking on. I don't know. I don't even know if I'll be able to talk by then. But anyway, on the people here that are going to carry in something from your Sunday mornings, wherever you have them. Finn and Izzy here on Sunday morning. Will be us Sunday night, tomorrow night. Oh, I can feel myself. I can feel like I'm just able to keep my spirit inside my body right now. Yeah. You know, guys, last night in the praise and the worship, last night while Izzy was talking, some people haven't caught up in their heads with what was going on. Everyone wants to trace everything down an intellectual level, you know. But a lot of stuff in the kingdom takes place at an intuitive level. And there was a radiance being activated last night. Super saturation. Well, you're close. It's Roy here who gave me the jacket. Hey, there you go, Roy. Roy gave me this denim jacket and I wore it today and I thought I'm going to wear it and get it so saturated and just throw it around this crowd. But it was too hot to wear. But anyway, it's been next to Glenda, so it's very anointed now. But we don't need it. We've got so many people here. Some of you, you don't realize your clothes are saturated. We're on you right now. And you need some of you need to take your shirts or whatever they are and go lay them on the sick. Keep your shirt. You can keep it for a couple of days. Just don't wash it. And go lay it on the sick. Right now, there's an anointing coming on you. Jesus. Saturate our clothes. Fire! Let's just stand together quietly. Well, I don't know about quietly, but anyway. Let's just take one of those hands just gently, just for a minute or so. Jesus. Jesus. I wanted to try and talk today about transitions, and that we're not in transition for the rest of our life. We're in a transition, then we come to the completion of a transition, and then we're positioned to step into inheritance. And I believe that some of the most painful process over the last 8 to 10 months for some people, not everyone, but some people have gone through the transition earlier. But numbers of you, and we've felt ourselves, Glenda and I, the last 8 months to 12 months have been some pretty intense times of opposition and difficulties. We had scaled up a little bit. I mean, it's always been there, but it just seemed to scale up a bit. The demonic hostility, the invisible anger of the demonic, trying to stir up trouble and people just reacting strangely. People that you thought knew better would suddenly get an idea about you and accuse you of some silly thing, or they won't tell you who's poisoned them and they act silly. Now we agonize over those people, but I promise you, you're holding your line. You're in transition. What they're doing has been phased out. They've been phased out for privileges and position. They're the losers. You're not. You can grieve over them, but Samuel the prophet was grieving over Saul when God took the kingdom from Saul. Because Saul feared men more than God. And Samuel came and rebuked Saul and stopped. He said, stop grieving for the one who God has taken the kingdom from. For God has raised up a David. And you can't keep grieving over those who make choices to fall in love with this present world. The Esau's that choose immediate gratification and lose the birthright. We are here to get the blessing of the firstborn. We're not here to keep grieving over the Esau's and the Herod's and the Saul's. We are born of the child of the promise. We are the Isaac's. We are the joyful ones. We are the sons of laughter. We can't keep grieving over the Ishmaels that keep attacking us. And Ishmael kept on attacking Isaac. Finally, God took Ishmael out. There is a phasing out, and you can't keep grieving over those. Don't take it personal. Move on. Transition has brought you and me to position. And our star has just found the extra level of anointing in the new position. And I know there's closure, there's cycles. Every time you cycle, when you climb a spiral staircase, you keep coming around to the same view, but from a higher and higher place. And I remember standing geographically about here in about 1994, when this was still Victory Faith Center property. I remember standing about, and trying to preach on the signs of the Holy Spirit falling. I was visiting from Australia, and I thought about the signs, all the 7 verbs of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And as I only got through a quarter of my message, and there was such a power manifestation in VFC in those days, where there were women shaking their heads so violently that their ponytails got unlocked. Their ponytails were snapping like a whip. And then finally their little ribbons fell off and their hair. And I knew that's what happened in the Cane Ridge revivals. And it was happening in this building in 1994. And we're coming full circle to see the same thing, but from a higher height. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. and what you've been doing over generations in this city of Pinetown. That, Lord God, it will not go backwards, and the enemy has certainly tried to send the Herods in and intimidate people with Herods. But I pray the wisdom of the cross, for you declare in 1 Corinthians 2:7 that the cross is your secret wisdom, destined for our glory before time. And had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Lord, we thank you that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. And the greatest wisdom this world has seen is the cross of Jesus Christ that's destined for our glory. Display the glory that was destined for us before time began in this city, in the highway area, in Jesus' name. And now you can just let one of those hands go and just drink. Shimanuru paristin di babarun. Maramanoro paramanestunduru. Hopefully on Sunday night I'm about to talk on how to keep the anointing fresh and how to sustain the anointing and keep it flowing week after week, month after month, year after year. There should never be a going down of the anointing ever again in the city of Pinetown. In the city of Adelaide that we spent 13 years of our life, we saw revivals, miracles. We were on national television for miracles. And yet people let the fire go out. And we went back there just a month and a bit ago. And the fire came back. And I urged the leaders, don't let this go out. Because we have invested our lives. But it's not us. Friends, it's many have cried out. We had old people in their 80s come up to us and say, we've been waiting for this for years and years. They saw revivals in the past. Come on now, there are young people here. You're under 20 years of age. There are people here in your mid-20s. Don't let this fire go out. Don't wait till you're 80 to see it again. There are older people here. Don't let the fire go out. What I noticed in Johannesburg and in East London, the people that were most open to the fire were the grey heads, people in their 70s and 80s. Why? Because they remember when there was fire in the church, when the Herods were not leading the church. I want everyone with gray hair just to lift your hands. I'm lifting mine because I got enough. Father, fire on the gray heads! Jesus' name. Everyone under 50. Now, some of you over 50 don't have gray. So if you're over 50 and you don't have gray, you can put your hand up as well, all right? Anyone under 50, just put your hand up. Father, we want to thank you that the young and the old, for the anointing turns the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers, and the anointing does not need to separate generations anymore, but we stand together as generations to see the continuation of the fire of God in Jesus' name. Fire! Fire, Lord! Fire, Lord! Fire, Lord! Anointing from heaven, Lord! Anointing from heaven! In Jesus' name. Shamala Marusa. I just don't know how we get over a fire tunnel in here, guys. It looks like the building's become a fire tunnel, but yes, it's like we're thinking of having a fire tunnel, but I think we'd lose something in it because you have become the fire tunnel. I mean, the building's become the fire. Let's just try and stand quietly. Just close your eyes for a moment. And I double dog dare you to try and be quiet. It is reverse psychology. Just close your eyes for a moment. Father, we thank you for giving us keys today, keys that open doors that no man can shut. Thank you for the transition that's happened, Father. Thank you for the transition Glenda and I have been in for 9 years. Thank you for it ending 6 weeks ago. Thank you for the intensity of the last 9 years that it's lifted. Thank you, Father, for the positioning to see results and quicker works. That what took us 4 or 5 days in Glory and Grace conferences now can happen in the first day, in the first meeting. That there's a whole shift, Father. That the churches here, represented here, are positioned, Father, to have a greater radiance, a greater influence, greater favor. I release wise men from all over the highway area to find their way to the churches represented here. In Jesus' name. And I release the Herods to find each other. I release the wisdom of God that was on those wise men, that they did not go back to Herod to tell him where the anointing was. I decree and declare that the Herods will not be able to hunt down and destroy the anointing, discredit it with political spirits, with accusation, with mockery, with making out this is silly, this is irrelevant. Father, we acknowledge that the wisdom of the cross may be foolishness to man, but the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. And we embrace the cross and the wonder of the glory that comes through the cross. We will never be belittled by Herods again. We will never think of them as so kingly and royal and supreme. We will love them and honor their office, but we will pursue the anointing. Because pursuing the anointing is pursuing Jesus. Jesus, you were central in our worship this morning as you revealed yourself. Because as we seek the anointing, we're finding the real Jesus. We worship the real Jesus. The one that's anointed with the Holy Spirit and power and goes about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Okay, I believe just there's going to come one more flood of the glory of God. Just one more over us. It's like a wave. Let's just wait. It's coming. Warning, warning, it's coming. Malachi has got within it prophecies about the coming of Jesus. And it even finishes, the last verse of Malachi finishes with the spirit of Elijah will come and turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. But Malachi 2 speaks about, and then the desire of all nations will come. And it says then he will suddenly appear in his temple. And it says, who can stand his appearing? Because it says he will come with fire. And the priests will give acceptable offerings unto God. And John 11, Jesus said, if you are willing, John the Baptizer, I'm getting drunk, is the Elijah come. And John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water. But he that comes after me is greater than me, and I'm not worthy to tie up his sandals. And he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus. We have leaders, elders here, have got godly wisdom. They've got a knowledge of the Word of God. They've got revelation. They understand the government over local churches. So they're not silly people that kiss their brains goodbye. We're not buying into some religious subculture. We're not wanting to be religious subculture, cruisermatics, casual charismatics. No, we're the sons of God. We want to walk in the sonship. We want God to manifest us as sons. We want Him to reveal us as sons. We can't reveal ourselves. We can just choose. We can choose to want to be in on this. But He reveals us as sons. He manifests us as sons of glory. But I just feel like the Lord wants us to make a decision here today to say, Lord, I'll never be ashamed of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I'll never quieten the Holy Spirit down, grieve Him or quench Him because there are visitors in the house. If those visitors are unsaved wise men, they're going to get saved because of the anointing. Their star would come home. Their star would show them the anointing and they're going to be full of joy. It's only the Herods that get unhappy. Don't worry about the Herods. There are far more wise men seeking this anointing, following a star. And that star is going to come and shine over your church. And that star is going to be beaming over your church. Father, we release the star that brought the wise men to the anointed one. We ask for that supernatural signs and wonders, that miraculous guidance that would bring many wise men to find houses of wine, houses of grace, houses of liberty, houses of freedom, Father. But Father, we commit ourselves today to say we will not be ashamed of your manifestation of the anointing, Lord. Let's just lift our hands if that's what you want. Say, Lord, we just repent of any feeling of shame. We repent of any intimidation that's come against us from the Herods. We say we will not be ashamed of the power of God. Jesus' name. Jesus. Just lift your hands and ask the Father for wisdom on how to administrate this, that when people oppose you, Herod type spirits oppose you, how not to react, how to just move like the wise men, move around it, don't go to them, don't try and convince them, don't hate them, don't criticize them, don't curse them, don't rally allies against them. Don't do that, friends. That will cause the anointing to be grieved in you. Just be a lover. Be a forgiver. Just be a forgiver. Honor the office that men stand in, even if they're against the anointing. This move has to go to a new level of humility and love and kindness. But He's called us to be very bold. Very bold. Very bold. Not to compromise on the anointing. Not to turn back. Not to turn back. But ask God to give you the wisdom. The wisdom. The wisdom. You know, witchcraft people, they're under such rebellion and they get their energy from one another. And then they get so defiant and they swagger around. But you isolate them and they're quite cowardly. They're quite cowardly. We the people of grace, we shouldn't get energized to be rude to people from our fellowship. Our fellowship should make us more confident in our God, more loving, more gracious. We're not going to get all angry with people and fight them and retaliate and criticize them and mock them and feel superior to them. As soon as you feel superior to someone, you've come into witchcraft. You've come back under the law. You're falling from grace. It's humility. Go wash their feet or do something gracious or just don't be involved with them. Move away from them. You have to. If you say, oh, Rob, I want to keep this anointing. One of the things if you want to keep the anointing is you don't go back under Herod. You don't go back under witchcraft. You don't have endless hours of going around and around and around issues to try and reach some reconciling solution. That sounds all gracious and humble. It's not. It's a trap. It's an ambush to sidetrack you. Don't, because they'll put something on you. They'll grieve you. They'll put their manipulative mark on you, and they'll make you feel like you're an idiot, and they're so wise, and they're so innocent. Friends, walk in confidence in what was preached last night. The innocence. You got the innocence of the grace of God in your life. Don't contaminate it by others just insulting you. And don't insult them. Bless them. But don't keep on trying to convince them. While you're trying to convince the Herod, there's 100 wise men out there that need you to come. God, lead us to the wise men. Amen. Let us love and lead the Herods. Lift your hands one more time, because I don't know what else to do. Lord, we just lift our hands because we don't know why, but we're just doing it. Father, let the fire of God fall one more time on this house. On this house. Jesus' name. Okay, that's a strong one. Come on, take that. That's strong. Hey! Hey! Shabani! Some are just triggering now. Some are triggering now at a new level. New level. New levels. Come on, y'all. God save the best for last. Just come in the best. Come on. Next few minutes. New level, new dimension. Off the scale, not registered before.